Welcome to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's topic is the administration's goal to reduce the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer at VMware. Now, let's get right to it, Doug. Obviously, Vivek Kundra put out his 25-point plan about a month ago, featuring a number of topics, including the idea to reduce the number of federal data centers by about 800. Can it be done? How can it be done? Give me some idea of what steps will it take for agencies really to reduce that number.
Can it be done? Of course it can be done. I think will it be done is a little different question that requires a little bit of thought and in deliberate action by the agencies in order to pull it off. And I think the reason for that is success will be determined on an agency-by-agency basis because that's the way OMB has structured the initiative. So the big question is, because it's an unfunded mandate, you know, most agencies are already pursuing some sort of initiative to a certain degree, but bringing it around in an enterprise-wide fashion without specific funding, I think, is a monumental challenge for the agency. So that, again, success will be determined on an agency-by-agency basis. I think the agencies are in a difficult position. I think they're facing significant budget reductions with no opportunity for investment funds, and yet this is a major initiative. So they really have to swallow two things. They have to swallow the budget reduction and an additional reduction in order to fund the initiative itself. So success requires, bottom line, lowering capital expenditures and operating expenses, and then being able to reinvest those savings to be able to carry out future phases of the initiative. So I think initially, the agencies are going to have to find a quick-hitting, very quick, short-term way of recouping some investment funds on the expense side. And we think, of course, a great way to do that with a very mature success record is virtualizing first as part of the consolidation plan.
This is why it's important when you get to certain specific goals, certain specific initiatives from the administration. One of the things that agencies that I'm seeing, that I'm hearing a lot about from, is the idea of, well, we're already starting down that path. We've already beginning to do this. If, even though it's unfunded, how are agencies already doing this? Is it the fact is they need money to invest up front, or is it they're seeing such great benefits in the back end that they're willing to kind of take money from somewhere else and invest?
And that's why I said, you know, it's an agency by agency basis. So everybody has a unique budget structure and they have different opportunities, and I can't talk to what those opportunities are. But generally speaking, when it's an unfunded type of an initiative, they have to find the initial investment money somewhere. So you've heard the old adage, it takes money to save money, takes money to make money, right? So they have to find some initial funding in order to get kickstart the effort and get the phase one going, and with the intention that the end result of phase one will result in a lower operating expense and they can recoup current year dollars to reinvest in the next phase. So they have to find it somewhere. Some of them can find it in their operating expenses. Some of it can defer other initiatives. And when I was on the investment review boards for two different agencies, we every year would continually delay refresh programs as a means of continuing to lower the operating expense. And so that's probably a trick that's been used up, but that's certainly one of the things that agencies might be considering, you know, doing in order to find that initial investment.
It reminds me of our conversation we've had many times over the years about the Economy Act and working capital funds, and we won't get into those details, but that just reminds me of that.
Hey, we can go there if you want. I'm prepared to talk to those. As you know, we've had numerous long discussions about those topics.
The Economy Act is one of those things that if you don't have the money to pay for what you have the money for, you can't borrow against it. Is that the basic thought?
Yeah, the working capital funds work very, very well from an operating budget perspective. They still really don't address the investment, you know, side of the equation. So there's still another mechanism, funding mechanism required from a holistic budgetary perspective over and above what a working capital fund can do. Working capital fund is a very, very powerful and effective tool, but primarily designed from an operating budget perspective.
I know it's been a problem for years. They haven't fixed it yet. The agencies are still going down that path. You know, getting the data centers back down from about 2,100 or so, I think the last count was even pushing above 2,100, reduced by 800, doesn't seem like a lot. But from your perspective, is that a big reduction, or is that something that's definitely achievable?
Well, I think it's both. I think reducing the number of data centers federally by 40% is significant. It's significant enough to have a tremendous impact from a budgetary and cost standpoint. But it's also achievable. But I think it's a drawing a nice balance between aggressive and achievable. So I think it's a good mark to shoot for.
Now, obviously, that's not the first time an administration has come out and said we got to reduce the number of data centers. We saw it back in the 90s. During the 2000s, they looked at data centers not in of itself, but of, you know, through HR or financial management in terms of reducing that. If you look in your crystal ball, 800, do you think they'll get there in short 3 years?
800 in 3 years is probably a bit optimistic, but this is the first time that I can recall, and I had about a 10-year federal executive career. It's the first time I can recall OMB driving a government-wide initiative in consolidation. And I think that by determining what the specific objectives and milestones are, and even defining the deliverables for all the agencies to comply with, is a new twist in the approach that OMB is taking that I think is going to have a significant positive effect on the chances of success for this initiative. So I think with that in mind, there is a better chance because there's more structure. And there's more standardization occurring across the federal government. But at the same time, I think it is different for the agencies to participate in this way on this type of an initiative. So I think it will be a struggle for them to communicate, you know, across the board in ways and at level of detail with best practices and lessons learned that perhaps they are not used to doing in the data center.
Obviously, you looked into your crystal ball a little bit. 800 is a reduction by 800. It's going to be a tough road. What are some of the biggest challenges the agencies are facing to actually reduce, whether it's by 1, by 20, or by 800?
As I alluded to earlier, I think the critical phase is really getting it started because of the budget situation. As I mentioned, this initial phase for all the agencies is going to be critically important in order to achieve a lower cost level that will then provide resources to continue on with the future phases. So cost savings and efficiency in phase one with the ability to reinvest those is critical. And I think one thing that's important is that, you know, in order to do that, there are many strategies that the agencies can pursue, and they probably will pursue the whole myriad of options that they have, given the number of agencies involved. And so there's no way around it. The first phase requires a consolidated infrastructure step. In order to do that, bringing virtualization technology into the equation initially is a low-risk way of achieving cost reductions and infrastructure consolidation within a six-month or less timeframe, which then provides, as I mentioned, that ability to proceed with future phases. But then virtualizing has additional benefits downstream, like the ability to increase agility for the agencies with increased control. So the flexibility to be able to migrate the workloads in the data center initially within a local data center to consolidate, but then across physical geographies in order to actually close down data center locations, and increasing compliance at the same time with any one or multiple mandates, including the cloud first policy, sustainability, telework, and the general security requirements as well. And then additionally, this agility capability, virtualization is now widely accepted as a launching point to the cloud. And since OMB also has a cloud mandate, the agencies would be wise to pursue a virtualization strategy within the consolidation initiative, because then they will be on their way towards the cloud as well.
Virtualization is obviously one of those things that is growing within the government. There was a recent breakfast put on by AFSCME Bethesda. Everyone talked about virtualization in one way or another. Let's start there, because I think that people start going, okay, well, how do I do this? Maybe the technology perspective is fairly straightforward, like you hear, but it's the culture change. It's the, okay, you don't need to hug your app. You don't need to hug your server. Talk a little bit about how to get past both the technology maybe hurdles, but also the, more importantly, the cultural hurdles.
That's a very good point. I mean, change is required, and change is difficult even when it's for the better, you know, for anybody involved. And so you're absolutely right. While there's tremendous benefits to virtualization, there are changes involved that basically boil down to some sort of silo busting. It can be a real test of an agency and the government's emphasis on information sharing and collaboration, and continuing to maintain those structures of silos will not allow this type of initiative to be successful. So the agencies are going to have to find ways to share resources, to share in decision-making processes, to share and adopt standards across multiple agencies. And even governance processes now involve other agencies or other organizations as they're sharing those underlying resources. And there are models in the pockets of the government that have been successful in this type of an approach, but they need to be brought to the surface and shared across the entire government so they can leverage the best practices that have already been established.
And there's some certain things that the Federal CIO Council is doing. They have a task force around the data center consolidation where that is happening, but you still end up with this, okay, but I'm different. You know, like, do you remember the conversations around, for instance, financial management or human resources? Everyone would want to say, I'm a little different than you. I don't want to follow what you're doing because I need to do something a little different. Do you find that most agencies, most organizations, really when it comes to virtualization, really need the same things?
Well, in a certain degree, yes. There's a common set of requirements that the underlying infrastructure can meet. At the same time, have the agility and the ability for agencies to define their unique characteristics without changing everything underneath it that sits underneath it. That's what the latest evolution of these virtualization and cloud technologies are enabling. And it's a true multi-tenancy environment where multiple organizations are sharing the underlying infrastructure and technologies, the resource pools, if you will, of the network, of the storage, and of the server and compute resources that are pooled together in a way that allows some flexibility for the end user organization to have their own logical groups of apps and virtual machines, if you will, that they can control to a certain degree, but still take advantage of the economies of scale by sharing the infrastructure underneath. So this is not rocket science. It's not, you know, new stuff. I mean, it's been around for a while and proven, and now is becoming mature. I think now it's for the change in people's minds to adapt to the thought that physically it doesn't map to them one-to-one anymore, but logically, they still have the same amount of control as they always did, and maybe in some ways more than they did before. So it's a change in the mindset in terms of the way the managers and operators of the applications will have to think in the future.
We're going to have to take a break, but I do want to come back, Doug, and talk a little more about shared services and virtualization and some of the similarities between the two. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal.
And now, here's the virtualization expert brought to you by VMware and Carahsoft.
This is Aileen Black, Vice President of VMware Federal. Federal agencies want to transform physically distributed server, storage, and networking resources into secure, elastic, self-healing resource pools to deliver IT as a service. This is cloud computing, and its foundation is virtualization. When storage, networking, and servers are woven together on a virtualization platform, federal agencies can begin an evolutionary, not a revolutionary, journey to cloud computing. By utilizing existing IT resources, agencies can build a private cloud and reap dramatic benefits without dramatic disruptions. More than 190,000 customers are virtualizing mission-critical IT resources with VMware today. If you are interested in cloud computing, shouldn't you join them?
VMware is the foundation of cloud computing. Register today for Federal Computer Week's 40% by 2015 breakfast seminar on February 23rd by visiting thevirtualizationexpert.com today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal. Now, Doug, before break, we talked a lot about the idea of shared services and virtualization, some of the challenges around virtualization. Let's talk about how actually shared services, as we've seen under the last administration and as we're seeing into this Obama administration around financial management, around human resources, how's that in many ways very similar to virtualization in the sense of you don't need to hug your server, you don't need to hug your app?
Well, that's exactly right. When you get down to the type of change required for this type of an initiative to be successful, there is a significant similarity between shared services and what I saw when I was the executive director of a shared services agency and cloud computing and virtualization in general. And it's basically this. When I was running that shared services agency, customers would always approach us with the same type of an idea that our requirements were unique and that we need to have our own infrastructure so that we can meet our unique requirements and meet the needs of our customers and so on and so forth. And so, you know, to try and be in tune with that, we would lay out their architecture and costs and so on and so forth and present to them, well, if you go this way, there's a cost associated with that. And then if you go with the shared services model where you're sharing the infrastructure, you might have your own version of the application sitting on top of it. You look at this cost model, and obviously there was a significant difference between the two. And invariably, most customers would reach the conclusion that it maybe wasn't worth that additional cost to have a completely vertical silo. Some would, but many would begin to see the benefits of sharing the underlying infrastructure. And I think the similarities are at that level. For a virtual environment, you're really sharing that infrastructure. In fact, we used virtualization in shared services in order to provide the most economical infrastructure for the client base that we could. And so we see that change in mindset over time as customers came to realize that they could still control their applications and who had access to it, and even some respects what the security model was at the application level, without having total control of the infrastructure and sharing that. And so I think that's the same. We just need to continue from a federal government standpoint, building on that shift in mindset to now make it more widespread as virtualization and the cloud are much wider potential use type of an approach than just shared services, which apply to certain type applications.
In many ways, it comes back to the idea of trust. Did you trust your shared service provider, and how much do you trust them? And then it goes back to service level agreements, and there's a whole kind of litany of things that it goes back to. Talk a little bit about that trust factor real quick, because I think that that's an important issue that comes up time and again. Do I trust whoever I'm working with? And from a vendor perspective, that's even more important for you, I imagine.
It is very important for us, for VMware believes that we have a critical success factor that the agencies can take advantage of in order to manage that trust model. And it boils down to, as you mentioned, the service level agreement. There is another similarity between shared services and the cloud in that the shared services agreement, the service level agreement, how is that going to be met? And with virtualization and VMware's technology, the end user has the ability to define those service level agreement, those performance characteristics and criteria within their logical environment. And our software will manage to that in an automatic way. So that becomes much easier. It becomes much more efficient for the end user to have control over that performance than in the old world, where service level agreements were more manually oriented, when people were generating reports out of the technology, out of 20 different logs, and manually compiling them together and then posting them to a website to say, see here what we did, which kind of undermined the trust model a little bit, right? Until now, with VMware's virtualization technology and management technology, that can be done in automated fashion and the end user has total control.
A lot of virtualization going on across the government. Give me some examples of what applications, what are agencies virtualizing?
Well, we're definitely seeing a trend, and we're seeing a shift in that trend. Initially, organizations would kind of dip their toe in the water with kind of core IT services. So the type of services that were somewhat enterprise in nature, but the IT organization had total control over, like Active Directory and web services kind of workloads. And those, you know, were virtualized, you know, just fine. And they saw the benefits from that, and the 40 to 60% cost reductions that occurred within a very short period of time. And now we're seeing agencies and organizations across the board moving to more of their database servers, their mail applications, collaboration software, and even now getting into mission apps. So we've kind of seen a shift in the type of applications that organizations are virtualizing now, that they've grown in their experience level. They're getting to the 20, 30, in some cases now 40% virtualized. They're building the expertise and the comfort level in order to move those more mission-critical applications over to a virtualized environment. And now they're seeing, in some cases, you know, documented improvements in performance and uptime and availability in the virtual environment compared to the physical environment, because it's actually a lower risk when you have more infrastructure resource pools to pull from, and you've got automatic software managing those service levels, as I described previously. It's easier to accomplish those performance criteria. And so when organizations see that, they begin to continue with that shift of those workloads.
I got to back up on you, because you said something that was really fascinating, 40 to 60% cost reduction by virtualizing. You're saying web services, Active Directory, some of the really back end stuff Are we seeing any kind of similar cost savings on the front end, the mail, the collaboration, the mission apps? What are you guys seeing from a cost savings standpoint?
Yeah, there's a convergence at this point in the industry. And the good news is for adopters as they continue to virtualize is that trend is increasing. And in other words, you know, initially, you know, it was like 40% and 50%. And now we're seeing more like 60%. In some cases, we've got documented 70% cost reductions. And there's multiple factors that come into play, right? A lot of it is the software has increased, the scalability and capacity and the, what I call the virtual machine density of the software has actually increased. But in other cases, the underlying infrastructure continues to evolve using Moore's Law as well. You know, it's still in effect. That the infrastructure is also improving. And so we're getting consolidation ratios now, you know, server consolidation ratios of 30 to 1, 40 to 1, 50 to 1. And that obviously drives considerable cost reduction.
And not just in the hardware, but in the power, in the facility costs. I mean, there's so many cost reductions that with specifically data center consolidation that it brings to the agency. But it goes back to that very beginning thing you said, do they have the money up front to make it happen? The other thing that we talked a little bit about offline, but let me bring up to you, is the idea of thin clients and the idea of desktop virtualization. I know they're not necessarily one and the same, but every CIO that I talk to tells me, we're looking at thin clients. It's interesting how it kind of circles back around. What are you guys seeing around thin clients, or at least desktop virtualization?
Yes, definitely. That's another workload that is coming to the forefront. In fact, I think 2011 is going to be a big year for the virtual desktop infrastructure from an end user adoption perspective. We've gone beyond the point now of pilots and proof of concepts. Many customers now have reached that point where they're in expansion mode, and there are considerable benefits from virtualizing the desktop. Cost is, of course, one, cost reductions, but there's increased security. These things like, you know, WikiLeaks can be a thing of the past when you can completely control what type of data your end users have access to and make it display only with no ability to copy, no ability to download. You can control that in a centralized manner. So not only is it more efficient to manage the centralized desktop environment, you can define centrally the security controls around that and enforce them in a much easier, compliant sort of a way.
And that cybersecurity piece is so key to it, because I think that's a lot of what agencies are seeing is a better way to really secure their desktop. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time. So before I let you go, let's talk about the next show on the Cloud First Policy. Give us a little bit of a sneak peek. Where do you see some of the low-hanging fruit that agencies are going to be going after over the next year to really move their functions, their technologies to the cloud?
Yeah, there's definitely some emerging trends that we'll talk about again here in the future, but definitely email and collaboration software and services are a prime candidate for adoption in a cloud model. Disaster recovery types of workloads, very nice fit to a cloud approach, particularly if the environment is virtualized already to start with. Web services also is a nice workload to migrate to the cloud. And in particular, software development environments, due to the nature and the cost structures associated with those, makes a lot of sense to consume software development environments from a cloud as well.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's topic was the administration's goal to reduce the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. I'm Jason Miller, and I've been speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal.
To hear this show in its entirety and learn more about how virtualization can help your agency, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
And now, here's the virtualization expert, brought to you by VMware and Carahsoft.
This is Aileen Black, Vice President of VMware Federal. Federal agencies want to transform physically distributed server, storage, and networking resources into secure, elastic, self-healing resource pools to deliver IT as a service. This is cloud computing, and its foundation is virtualization. When storage, networking, and servers are woven together on a virtualization platform, federal agencies can begin an evolutionary, not a revolutionary, journey to cloud computing. By utilizing existing IT resources, agencies can build a private cloud and reap dramatic benefits without dramatic disruptions. More than 190,000 customers are virtualizing mission-critical IT resources with VMware today. If you are interested in cloud computing, shouldn't you join them?
VMware is the foundation of cloud computing. Register today for Federal Computer Week's 40% by 2015 breakfast seminar on February 23rd by visiting thevirtualizationexpert.com today.